Hello, 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 and welcome to the edition of A Quick Pint. Now, again, it's sex week here at the Jolly Heretic Public House. You've made it absolutely clear that autism can bugger off, genius can bugger off, intelligence research can bugger off. What you want is stuff on the evolutionary dynamics of sexual practices. Now, we've looked so far at fellatio and cunnilingus, and so today I want to look at the rather innocent practice of kissing. What is the evolutionary dynamics of kissing? Kissing, let's define it as mouth-to-mouth contact, right? Kissing on the open lips. It is obviously long recorded. It is recorded in the Kama Sutra. You do find similar things in non-human animals. Cats, for example, and dogs will touch each other, and many other animals will touch each other on the lips. This can be regarded as kissing. And in the cases of dogs, they will tug each other in the mouth to greet each other. So this is widely observed across species. Though, interestingly, according to anthropological research, fewer than something like 50% of known societies actually engage in kissing. So it's not a human universal. It has been observed that there is a rightward bias to the head when people engage in kissing, and research in Bangladesh indicates that kissing will tend to be initiated more by men than women. Though I'm not sure that even is a human universal. Now, in terms of why you're doing it, research by Robin Dunbar, the Oxford anthropologist, indicates three key things, none of which are exclusive. The first is you want cues essentially of genetic quality and of genetic similarity. And you can get these through gustatory, that is to say taste, and olfactory, that is to say smell, cues. So you are picking up on the taste and the smell of the potential partner, and in doing so you are assessing whether that person is of good quality, which is one of the things you're going to want to select for, and also whether that person is genetically similar to self, which is also something of course you're going to want to select for. The second is to gauge and maintain long-term pair bonding. So it feels nice, it feels good, it's a kind of a continuation of a thing that you did at the beginning of the relationship. You are continuing to assess the genetic quality and the genetic similarity of the partner during the relationship, and this is arousing, and so therefore you continue to do it as a means of continuing long-term pair bonding. And the third, again related to this, is arousal and foreplay. We are evolved to want to have sex with people who are of high quality and are genetically similar to ourselves, and so if you do this, if you kiss somebody, you should find it arousing, and therefore it becomes a matter of foreplay prior to sexual intercourse. In terms of other reasons for it, it is potentially a cost to health. If you kiss somebody, you can get diseases off them. So there has to be a very good reason to do so. And the argument is that very good reason to do so is to assess whether that person is, as is termed, a good kisser. And what is meant by them being a good kisser is that the nature of the kissing is pleasant to the immune system of the other person doing the kissing. And it's interesting that it is particularly women who, in the early stages of a relationship, i.e. the pickier sex, who will be interested in kissing and will be interested in whether or not a person is a good kisser. And if they don't find them a good kisser, i.e. they don't enjoy kissing them, then they won't want to go any further. Now, with the research on women and their kissing, what they mean by a good kisser is gustatory and olfactory, i.e. that the person is experienced to taste and smell nice. And that's what good kisser is when you break it down. It's not that you know what to do with your lips or you know what to do with your tongue or whatever. What they're actually saying is that you taste nice and you smell nice. And what that is a cue to, obviously, is health and genetic similarity. So that's, again, we see again the point of this. It is to assess health and genetic similarity. Then another factor is that within relationships, frequent kissing, frequency of kissing, is significantly correlated with relationship quality. And so again, this implies there is a strong bonding element to kissing, that you kiss in order to bond. If you are a K strategist, you will want to have strong bonds, and therefore you will kiss more and you will maintain strong bonds, and the relationship will be more satisfactory for this reason. And interestingly, anthropological research indicates that there is a correlation between the social complexity of a society and kissing preference, i.e. the more K-strategic a society is, because that's what tends to be associated with a complex society. If you are under a harsh and stable ecology, then it's highly competitive, then you will tend to select for various factors which will allow you to build up a more complex society. And the more complex a society is, the more likely you are to kiss. And so this implies that an element of kissing is related to a complex society. Kissing is an expression of a K-strategy, of investing in nurture over sex. Kissing is a means of bonding, of strongly bonding, and you would expect a society that was more complex to involve greater internal social bonds. So those are then the reasons for kissing. As I say, you might think it's a human universal, but it isn't. And there are these various reasons that go together, which explain why we are evolved to kiss. So I hope that's a bit of interest, and goodbye!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!